Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturated, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skincare. And today I'm joined by my co-host.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Co-host and co-founder, Craig. Welcome back, Craig.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And today we're talking about how to build an effective strength training program for women over 40. Craig's like, let's do a training topic this week because he loves training. So
yeah, a lot of the women, for sure.
A lot of women come to us and they're either very new to training, so strength training, they haven't really done a lot of proper strength training before, or they were like me who had done a lot of strength training but didn't really look like they train, or I didn't look like I trained. So they were putting a lot of effort into the gym, but they weren't really seeing the results or the fruits of their labor. And so we just thought, I thought I'd pick Craig's brains and teach you, you know, how to build an effective strength training, you know, what questions you should be asking yourself, where you should be focusing on, you know, how many sets you should be doing and how much volume. So I think that's another thing that women, you know, get confused about. So what do you think is the first question that women, because obviously like with a strength training program, what we want to do is get stronger, obviously, right?
Yes.
And most of the women that we work with, their primary goal isn't just to get stronger, but it's to build muscle because they want to lose weight, but once they've lost the weight, they want to look toned. So you can't tone a muscle. You can only either grow a muscle or shrink a muscle. There's no such thing as toning. And so to achieve that tone look, and where I think a lot of women go wrong, is that they don't realize that the body that they want has a lot more muscle than they think. And so in order to get that muscle, you need to train effectively. You need to recover. And obviously there's nutrition, but the nutrition recovery can be another time for a podcast. So this one's just about training. So do you think... First of all, I think women say, how many days a week should I be training? And I always think that the best question to ask is, well, what can I actually commit to first? Because it's pointless.
Consistently each week, what can you commit to?
So, you know, like most women that we work with, they can train 2 to 4 days a week. Some women train 5 days a week. So do you want to start there by talking about the days first?
Yeah, so I think... generally, what we recommend is 3 to 4 days because we know that that's what people can do realistically. But the thing is, when we actually look at the literature around muscle growth, right? So trying to keep this as simple as possible. doing a 3 day per week full body program or a 3 day lower upper full body program. So that's basically if you're doing full body 3 times a week, you're working or training a muscle 3 times per week. So you might do one chest exercise, one back exercise, one quad exercise, one hamstring exercise, you know, generally 2 sets, something like that. So over the course of the week, you're doing 6 total sets per body part, right? That's going to put you right in the middle of the range in terms of what we generally tend to see is optimal for muscle growth, right? If you were going to do a lower upper full body, so lower day one, upper day two, full body day three, you're essentially working a body part 2 times per week, right? And again, that volume of anywhere between, you know, 3 to 6 up to 8 sets, I think, per body part per week is a really, really good range for most people. I think once you start getting over the 8 sets, the quality or the effort per set starts to be more compromised because you're thinking about work volume, like how much you're actually doing as it compared to the actual intensity of effort, which is more important, right? So when you actually work it out, you know, if you're thinking about, let's say the maximum of 8 sets per body part per week, once you break that up, it's just going to generally fall into like a 3 day a week or a 4 day a week split, right? You could do 5 days per week, but you end up going to the gym to do 3 or 4 working sets. You know, maybe something like that, depending on the structure. And I do have some clients who do that because they're like, look, I can only train at 5 a.m. in the morning and I've got to be home by 6 to get the kids ready for work. I've literally only have a really small amount of time. So I can't do, you know, sessions that really go for longer than maybe 30 to 40 minutes. So some times where, and they can do like Monday to Friday. So doing a program where they do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is something that we have to adapt for them. Generally, I generally don't prefer people doing more than two consecutive days in a row. So generally what I find is as they tend to get stronger, because that as a byproduct, their volume is increasing, their recovery capacity starts to slow down and they end up just kind of dropping back to doing 4 days a week anyway. So it just, when we just kind of look at what's ultimately determining muscle growth, it just generally ends up, it makes the most sense that a 3 day per week or a 4 day per week program generally yields the best progress in the longer term for the vast majority of people. And so when we're actually thinking about this, we've just got to think about, in terms of optimal muscle growth, the rate of muscle protein synthesis essentially needs to be greater than the rate of muscle protein breakdown. So every time you go into the gym and you lift weights, right, and you lift them, you know, as close to failure as possible, and you create that stimulus, muscle protein synthesis goes up, right? And generally what we see is after about a 48-hour period, somewhere between 48 hours to, it's not quite 72, but it's a little bit less than that, depending on the body part, like bigger muscles, you know, generally will take a little bit longer to recover. But generally after about that 48-hour to 72 period, we see the MPS start to taper off and start to go down into muscle protein breakdown. It's at that point, again, when you want to train that muscle. So if you think about, if you're doing a full body split, you're training it every 48 hours. And then, you know, if you go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then you have 2 days off, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and then you're training it again. That's going to be a really good frequency inside that. Or if you're training a 4 day lower upper, so you're doing two lower body sessions, two upper body sessions, so you're training a muscle twice per week. Again, it's going to fall within that same kind of rate. So anything after about 72 hours, you're going to start to see quite an exponential drop off due to muscle protein breakdown. So, you know, if we're falling within that period of training that muscle again, and as long as we're training that with, you know, with sufficient effort to create a sufficient stimulus, that's how muscle growth happens. So that's what I mean. Like when people train, oh, I'm doing like these whole volume programs of 5 and 6 days a week. It's just like, well, you've then got to manage your recovery so much more. Your ability to create stimulating reps massively goes down, because if you're under recovered, your ability to recruit motor units is massively impeded. And it's motor unit recruitment plus mechanical tension that leads to muscle growth. So if you're not firing all your motor units because you're fatigued, then you can't be pushing your sets as close to failure to create that mechanical tension as much as possible. So therefore, muscle growth is going to be less or severely impeded. So again, when we just kind of look at fatigue mechanisms, it just makes sense that just doing really high quality sets, you know, for up to around 8 sets at the most per body part per week is generally where we see the vast majority of people make progress. There's always going to be outliers who can handle a little bit more. But most people are going to fall in that. And that just generally tends to work out to be a really good split between 3 and 4 days. So again, it's just, this is what we see in the research. This is what we see anecdotally with a number of our clients. This is what practically works for most people anyway. So I think in this case, it's just, you know, like we always said, you've got to be getting stronger. You've got to be measuring, you know, what you want to be measuring. Like if I was to ask anyone, I'm like, look, if you could put, if you could get your dumbbell bench press, for example, and you're doing, you know, the 12 and a half kilo dumbbells now, and it's just like, if you could press the 22 and a half kilo dumbbells for a set of 8 reps or something down the track, it's like, do you think your shoulders and your chest and your triceps are likely to be bigger as a result of that? And everyone always knows, they're like, yeah, of course it would be, because I'd be stronger and I'd be lifting weights. And I'm like, cool. You've now just basically said more than what 99% of the fitness industry is constantly crapping on about, is that you just need to get massively stronger than what you are now in order to grow muscle. But the only way you can get stronger is by recovering and doing it in a way that allows that progressive overload to happen, you know, almost on a weekly basis. So yeah, it just,
3 or 4 days.
It's just okay. Naturally how it just works out. Yeah.
And what about exercise selection?
Yep. So I think I probably made the point that there is no inherently better exercises than others. Because when we think about exercises, we're thinking about movement patterns first, right? So we think about a squat movement pattern. So that's, hip and knee flexion and extension. That could be a back squat, that could be a front squat, it can be a safety bar squat, it could be a leg press, it could be a hack squat, a Smith squat, a pendulum squat. Any kind of movement where you're doing a squat pattern is going to train your quads, hips, and glutes all the same way. So when we're thinking about what's generally going to build the most amount of muscle, well, first of all, pick an exercise that you would enjoy to do. If you're somebody who really just doesn't like back squatting because it feels uncomfortable and you just suck at it, well, don't do a back squat. If you're just somebody who really likes doing a leg press, great, do a leg press. It's all going to train the same thing. But we have to remember that whatever movement that we choose, if we're thinking about it from the perspective of, I want to grow the biggest amount of, or the most amount of muscle I can for this body part. Well, our central motor command in our brain essentially has to divert resources depending on what the exercise is. So in a back squat, for example, there's a lot of skill involvement in that, right? Like setting your hips properly, breathing and bracing, setting your upper back tightness, making sure that the bar is in the appropriate position, stay over your center line. There's a lot happening there in terms of just skill and understanding and the awareness of your body position throughout the range of motion. Then there's a big stability element that you need to maintain while you're doing it. And then also you need to be, training it hard enough close to failure. And obviously, because there's more things that can break down with a skilled movement, it's hard to really maximize the output of those muscles because your brain's going, okay, we've got to devote resources to stability, we've got to re devote resources to skill, and we've got to devote resources to the actual output of the muscles themselves. Whereas, say, for example, you go onto a leg press, which is the same squat pattern, all of a sudden there's no stability issue because you're on a fixed machine. There's also no skill level because you just pull yourself into the seat and press against the plate. So there's more resources from your brain diverted to output. So this is generally why you'll see people that they just, they can push a lot more weight and they can just generally do a leg press and they can pick it up a lot quicker than they can a back squat. So now I'm not saying that you can't grow awesome legs by squatting. You absolutely can, but you just have to take into account that there is a greater skill requirement and your level of output in the short term is going to be lower as a result of this. So now when you look at a squat pattern, you look at a hinge pattern, which is like your deadlift patterns, deadlift or hyperextension patterns, anything like that. Then you've got your horizontal push, so any chest pressing movements, vertical push, your overhead pressing movements, vertical pull, so things like your lat pull downs, chin ups, your horizontal pull, so your row machines, cable rows, barbell bent over rows, etc. Then obviously you generally go into your isolation movements, etc. So it's within all of these movement patterns, you have your exercise variations. So choose the exercise variation that you would like to do. People are like, oh, what should I do for my rows? Would doing a machine row like with a plate be better than a cable row? I'm like, it's literally the same fucking movement. Do whatever you like. Right? Do one for a while, and once you stop making progress, then switch it out and do something. Do the row machine movement. Do you know? It's just like, oh, which movement should I do? Should I do a Y grip pull down, or should I do the D handle, or should I do that? I'm like, it's a frontal plane movement. It's doing all the same. It's working the same muscles. Just
So
pick one that you like.
would you say that, sorry, I'm just trying to think about if someone's listening to this, how to piece it together. So first of all, you'd be deciding the days that you want to train, and then you
Yes.
were saying there that you do how many sets per body part per week, roughly?
So if you're doing a full body training session, generally you'd be doing six sets. So you'd be so two sets per body part per session,
So
right?
then you would pick the exercises that hit those sets. So for example, if I was going to do a hack squat, that would do my quads and my glutes.
Yeah, so you do like day one you would do leg press, day two you would do leg extension. Day three, you might do what's another one? Like, yeah, you could do hack squat or you could do a Smith squat, right? Yeah, that would be fine.
Because some of these compound lifts obviously work more than one muscle group.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, that's why they're compound refers to multi-joint. So in the case of a squat, you're working your knee joint, quads, and then the hip joint, which is obviously doing your glutes, etc. So yeah, like it's just like you're training those same muscles over and over. Now you could just go, I'm going to leg press Monday, leg press Wednesday, and leg press Friday. You absolutely could do that. Like I write programs where they're just literally like a full body one split program where they literally just do the same workout 3 days a week. Right. And for beginners, that can be really, really an awesome way to train because they need something simple that they can just sink their teeth into and get. And after they've done it a few times, they're like, oh, okay, I'm not too scared about being in the gym now. right. I know that I do leg press first and then I do the lying leg curl and then I do the chest press machine and then I do the lat pull down and then I do the dumbbell side raises and then I do the cable bicep curl and then I do the tricep push downs. Cool. What do I do on the next day? Literally repeat it Wednesday. What do I do on Friday? Literally repeat it on Friday. And for novice people, they will make a lot of progress doing that. You know, for maybe 8 weeks because they literally they'll get up to their strength capability very, very quickly because they're literally just doing the same movements. It will then kind of taper off quite quickly after that. And then that's where going to a two split program might be really good. So they'll have workout A, workout B, and then they'll do workout A again on Friday. And then next week it'll be workout B, workout A, workout B.
Mm.
Once they tap out from that, they can then go to a three split program. So they have workout A on Monday, workout B on Wednesday, workout C on Friday. It's still the same full body. So they're still doing the chest movement. So they might do chest press machine Monday. They might do cable flies on Wednesday. And then they might do dumbbell flat press on Friday. And then their back movement might be wide grip lat pull down. And it might be on Wednesday. It might be like a neutral grip cable row. And then they might do a machine T-bar row on Friday. So they're doing, got their three chest movements, three back movements, Tuesday, three quad movements, three hamstring movements, three bicep movements. And it's just, that's a fantastic way for a lot of people to progress. Mm. For quite a while.
Become more advanced, moving to a 4 day upper lower.
Moving to a 4 day where the frequency of it is a little bit less. So you're going from doing it three times per week to just two times per week. And it's just, you just need a little bit more time to recover. And sometimes just that novel of just going, okay, I'm not training a body part every single day now. I'm training it, just doing an upper day and then only a lower day. And then, but then if you do it that style, you can have upper body A and upper body B, and then you simply repeat upper body A and upper body B later in the week. And then once that kind of maxes out, you can then switch to a three split. So you have two of the upper body sessions the same, but the two lower body sessions are different. And once you kind of max that out, then you can go to the four split where you've got upper body A, lower body A, upper body B, lower body B.
Yep.
And then, that is literally how you would progress from a beginner through to an intermediate from advanced, literally just following that structure.
And what about, I think this is another thing that I see a lot when women come in is like the exercise selection. So, and I've talked about this lady a lot in our group because she came in and she was doing dumbbell only program, which is fine to start with, right? Like you will make 100%. Some progress with the dumbbell, but you'll reach a point where, especially with leg exercises, that you're not, you need heavier weights. And so, some of the things that I like, often you'll get people deadlifting. Why do you love the deadlift so much for building a great physique? I mean, it's how I built, I think, a lot of my body, deadlifting, hack squatting, squatting, leg pressing, like these bigger compound lifts.
Yeah. So there's a few reasons why I like it. Number one, obviously, you're using a lot of muscles at once. So it's like calves, hamstrings, glutes, lower back, lats, traps, So it's a full posterior chain exercise. So you get a lot of bang for your buck. But second, I've seen it to be the very best way to see that your training is actually working. It's kind of like this anchor lift that, as the deadlift progresses, everything else generally tends to progress, right? And then as you progress other things, you can always kind of look at you as like you test your deadlift sort of thing. And it's just like, oh yeah, like I've made some progress here. Everything's just generally working as a result. So it's, for me, it's the, and this is how Damon explained it to me way back in the day. He was just like, there is no rawer lift than a barbell sitting on the ground and you've just got to walk up and stand up with it. Like there's no other more animalistic way of testing your strength. There is a heavy barbell on the ground and you've just got to grab it and stand up with it.
Yeah.
Right? It's very, very simple. But the thing is, compared to like a back squat or a bench press, etc., there's not a lot of skill required in it because it's a hinge movement. You're literally bent over and you've just got to stand up straight. You don't need to think about it. Keep the bar close, stay tight, stand up. That's literally how Damon taught me to do it. And it was at that time, I was just like, he was having back issues and all that sort of thing. And I was just like, oh, I was a bit, oh, I don't really want to do this. And he was just like, there's nothing wrong with you. Get close to the bar, grab it, get tight, stand up with it. And I was just like, okay, we did that once. And then we did it a second time. And then the weight kept going up, going up. And it made a lot of sense to me that unless you actually understand your true capability, your belief in what you can actually achieve is always going to be much lower than you think. And it's really hard to kind of expose that by doing, say, a lat pull down or, you know, a dumbbell chest press. You know, like they all are meaningful things. Like you've all got to get strong at all those to, you know, grow all of the musculature across your body. But it's just one of these things. It's like you walk up to the deadlift, and if you stand up and if you're stronger than last time, it's generally everything. Your training is generally just working. And also because it's you know, it does have quite a high stimulus to fatigue ratio as well. You know, if you're recovering from it and you can do more the next time, it's just like, well, everything else is just going to continue to work as a result. And, you know, I've got this equation that I use where, you know, someone's goal lean body mass and what their deadlift should actually be. And it's so close to what it is, right? For example, I was actually looking at Linda Vizzoli's the other day because we were talking about it on the call, and her deadlift calculated max is currently at 135.
So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I wanted to quickly jump in and talk about our brand new Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge. Are you a woman over 40 who's feeling stuck when it comes to your health and your body? Maybe you've tried all the diets, you've cut carbs, you've done endless hours of cardio, and you still feel frustrated with no lasting results. You are not alone. This is so common for women in their 40s and beyond. But the good news is there is a better way. This is where the Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge comes in. Say goodbye to endless hours of cardio, restricted diets, cutting sugar, carbs, and quick fixes. And say hello to feeling strong, lean, and energized like never before. Get ready for a healthier metabolism, better sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, and sustainable fat loss. Transform your body, health, and life after 40. So this isn't just a quick fix diet or a one-size-fits-all workout plan. It's a method that combines metabolic support and body recomposition, specifically designed to help women build muscle, lose body fat, and restore hormonal and metabolic health after 40. So here's what you're going to get in the 28 days of the challenge. Custom macros and meal planning. So no more restrictive dieting or food fear. You'll learn how to set macros, adjust macros, build meal plans, and eat foods you love while fueling your body to burn fat and build muscle. We've got hundreds of structured training programs. So these are designed for busy women with simple, effective workouts that you can do at home or in the gym. Each workout is actually customizable to the equipment you have access to, and each exercise comes with a detailed video tutorial. You get daily coaching and support. So you get access to me and Craig for 28 days to help guide you every step of the way, accountability, support, encouragement, and expert advice. You get to use our incredible new strength tracker app to track your progress, complete weekly check-ins, track your food, build meal plans, and use our unique training system to ensure your technique is spot on and you're progressing week to week. You also get access to us for 28 days, so you can jump on live calls and get feedback and coaching on your check-ins, as well as access to us via our community platform to ask questions and get support. And you get lifetime access to the course materials with modules on nutrition, metabolism, and hormonal health, plus guides on setting macros, creating balanced meal plans, recipe books, meal ideas, and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about nutrition. And here's the best part. It's just a one-time payment of $29 Australian. Plus, it comes with a money-back guarantee. So if by the end of the challenge, you're not convinced you can build muscle, lose body fat, and improve your health and hormonal issues using my method, I'll refund your money, no questions asked. This challenge isn't just about 28 days. It's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you feel empowered to take control of your health, eat delicious food, and finally break free from restrictive diets and endless hours of training. So if you're ready to finally take control back of your body and your health, click on the link below in the show notes and join today. Let's get back to the podcast.
And she wants to have a lean body mass of 46, which puts her deadlift at I think it was 142. And she's currently at 45.6 kilos of lean body mass. So it's just like, geez, it's really fast. It's like literally under 10 kilos. She's got to gain another 600 grams of lean body mass. And it's within, yeah. And that was something Damien, he was like, for every 1 kilo of lean body mass, it's like 10 kilos on your deadlift. I worked this out the other day and I was like, wow, fuck, this is actually really, really close. So again, it's just what we've seen, like people that can lift a certain weight, have a certain amount of lean body mass, they just look a certain way. So the deadlift now... For some people, maybe listen to this, they're like, oh, I can't do a deadlift and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want this to deter you because...
No, there's other exercises you can do.
You look at everything, right? Like you could use a hyperextension, or even if you can't do deadlifts or a hinge movement, it's just like if you add 50 kilos to your leg press, it's like your quads and glutes are going to look better. You know, if you add, you know, if you can get to the point where you can do, you know, 15 kilo dumbbell shoulder presses, your shoulders are going to look better. Like it's all a strength increase across the body. It all makes sense. But just in terms of deadlift, for me, it's just such a great way to really kind of understand how a person's actually progressing.
What about the amount of sets you should do? So I think this is another thing we see with a lot of women that come into our program. So a great example of this is a lady who got on one of my coaching calls a few weeks ago, and she said, "Oh my God, Kitty, I've made more progress using your app in the last 3 months than I have in the last 10 years of training, because I was always just doing like 3 sets of 10 and never actually really progressing the exercise." And she's like, "It's quite incredible week to week. Like it's pushing me to lift more, and I'm capable." And then obviously eating the food and supporting the training, she's like, "I can actually see my body changing." And she's like, "It feels so weird to only be doing 2 sets, but I'm actually pushing those sets harder." So can you talk about, like, because I feel like this is where a lot of women go wrong. They're like doing 3 to 4 sets of every bloody exercise. And I used to do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just how it's always gone, right? I was doing the exact same thing many years ago. But again, as science has sort of started to come around a lot more specifically, we understand that there is a dose response relationship with your lifting, and that every set that precedes has a massive drop off, because as you complete a set, you have to add fatigue on, right? Like fatigue is just a byproduct of what you're doing. So the more fatigue that gets added, the less motor unit recruitment you have, and therefore the less mechanical tension you can generate. So without mechanical tension, you don't grow muscle, right? So the best way that I remember Chris Beadsley actually breaking this down for me when I did his mentorship course, it actually takes another 5 sets to get the same amount of stimulus that you get from that one set. So for example, right? So let's say you do your set one. Let's just say you use a weight. Let's say you're doing a dumbbell bench press, right? You're doing 20 kilos, right? And you do as many as you can. Let's say you get 11 reps. Okay, cool. You then rest accordingly and you do set two with the same 20 kilos, right? You're not going to get 11 reps again if you pushed it to as many reps as possible, because now the second set you're starting with more fatigue added in. So, you know, you might get like a 1 to 2 rep drop off. Let's say you get 11 reps, the second set you get 9 reps, the third set you'll get 7, then the fourth set you might get 5, and then it'll massively drop off. You might get 2 and 1, etc. So when we actually look at it, one set is like one entire unit of growth, and what we kind of extrapolated from that is like set 2 is like 1.39 units of growth, Set three is 1.61. Four sets was like 1.77, if I remember. Five sets was 1.9. And then the six set got you to 2 units. So basically, when you do one set, you're going to be getting the maximum amount of stimulus. And if you want to match that, you've got to do another five sets. But if you were to do another five sets, it's massively, you're not going to be able to do much for the rest of that session because you just, there's so much fatigue being generated. So generally, when I program for people, two sets is more than enough. So I know if I could really teach them how to execute the movement properly, how to stay tight, get in the right position, and do as many reps as possible with good form and good range of motion, they're going to get the maximum stimulus out of that first set. And then the second set, we always increase the rate by 5%. And then they're going to try and do as many reps as possible. So obviously you've got fatigue, but because you're increasing the weight, the reason why I get people to increase the weight on the second set, where it makes sense, usually for all your compound movements, is because I want you to feel the weight of what that extra heavy weight, because that second set weight is going to become your first set probably next week or the week after. Right? So if I go a little bit heavier, you're going to feel this extra heavier weight. Your central nervous system is going to feel what that feels like, but it's also going to recruit as many motor units as it can because you're actually making creating more stress because you're actually using a heavier weight. But literally after you've done that two sets, it's like, especially because you've increased the weight, that the amount of fatigue that you've accumulated is going to be exponential if you do anything more than that. So we just cut it off. But the thing is, when I tell you to people, hey, you've only got two sets to progress, all of a sudden the focus level goes up a lot more. And they're like, oh, fuck, I've only got a set. Yeah, I better push this as hard as I can. It's like, well, that's what I wanted you to do literally from the start. So if we kind of play that psychological game of like, well, you've only got two sets to progress on this, right? And then you'll only have two sets if you're doing a full body program, then you'll only have two sets to progress on Wednesday and then two sets to progress on Friday. So you've only got six total sets to make sure that your chest and your shoulders and your triceps grow from the movements that you're doing. Then it forces people to push really hard. But the thing is that they will always make better progress because they're not doing anything there's no redundancies in training that way. You know, like you see a lot of people, it's really big these days. They're like, oh, we're going to do a burnout finisher. Do you know where we, I don't even know, like walking lunges seems to be the big one. They do, you know, they do their leg presses and their leg extensions, and then they'll do some hack squats and they'll do this. And they're like, oh, we're going to do a burnout finisher where they do these walking lunges for 30 reps up and down the track. I'm like, all you're doing is generating more fatigue. There's no stimulus coming from that. And if anything, it's just going to impede your next sessions because the recovery demand is going to be so high from doing something like that. So my whole thing has always been about, I want to create as many maximally stimulating reps as possible, and then we're done. So generally, given that the first set, as I explained before, is going to be 85% of that stimulus, you go really, really hard for one set, you then increase the weight a little bit, you go really hard for a second set, and then you pull it up. You go and do something else. And that's why. And the other thing too is when you do the three sets of 10 model, it generally means that you need to pick a weight where you can do three sets of 10. So what we're saying to the body then is we need to pace ourselves because we still want to be getting 10 reps on the third set with the same weight. Right? Now, if you do the first set of 10 as close to failure, you're not going to be able to get 10 on your second set because as I was just explaining, because of the fatigue element. Then you do the second set, then there's more fatigue. There's no way you're going to get 10 on the third set. So it'll go 10, 8, and then 6 or something like that. Right. So the only way you can continue to get 10 each time is to drop the weight. So if you drop the weight, you're then dropping the actual load that you need to create the mechanical tension, which is then going to lead to less stimulus. So how do you progress the three sets of 10 model? It's just like, well, it's really hard. I'm not saying you can't do it. You're just like, oh, well, I'm just sticking to this weight. I'm just, once I get 10, then I'm going to add some more weight. And then once I get 10 on the last set, I'm going to add some more weight. Like, oh yeah, but that's a really long time to fucking progress that. It's just like, okay, what do I want to do? Like, I want to be able to dumbbell bench press the 55 kilo dumbbells for 10 reps, right? That's the goal that I want to get to. It's just like, well, is doing 30 kilos for three sets of 10, and then the next week doing 32 and a half kilos for three sets of 10, and then a few reps rip off. Why don't I just try and do as many reps on the first as I put and try and get to 55 kilos as quickly as possible, as opposed to doing all of this extra work that's generating more fatigue and less stimulus anyway. So why don't I just always use my first set to absolutely gauge that I have actually made progress from the previous session? Because if I go in with, say, the 30 kilo dumbbell and I push it and I get 15 reps and I go, cool, let's push it up to 35. Right, I get like 6 reps. Cool, I'm still within range. Let's go up to 37 and a half. Okay, I get 5. Okay, cool, I'm going to stay there until I hit 7 or 8 reps. Right, 37 and a half. Right, get 8 reps. Cool, go up to the 40s. Make 8 reps my ceiling limit. Every time I hit 8 reps with that first set, then I'm going to move up again the next week. That to me, that's a much more efficient and practical way to A, measure that you are indeed making progress, but B, actually spend less time in the gym doing a bunch of stuff that's completely redundant. So with our system, because it will look at your the weight and the reps that you do, and then once you hit the number, it'll go, oh, cool. All right, we only wanted you to get 8 reps, but you ended up getting 12. Clearly, you're underperforming what you can. We're going to increase the weight relative to the fact that you got an extra 4 reps on top of what you actually needed to. And then you use that new weight next week. And then let's say you get 9 reps, which is an extra rep than what you needed. It's going to increase the weight a little bit more. So this is how you get up to your threshold of true strength as quickly as possible, because it's own your body only changes when you go beyond what you're actually truly capable of doing. And most people are not actually lifting in a way that demonstrates their true capability. This is why they never change. Like, I go to the gym all the time and I lift all these things and my body's not changing. I'm like, yeah, because you're doing things within a comfort zone. You're training in a way that's not actually forcing the growth that you want to see. It's not creating the stimulus to create the adaptations. So if we kind of use it as this method and go, well, I need to test to see if I've got stronger, and you want to test this every week. And the best way to do that is just like, well, I used this weight for this many reps last week. So I'm going to use the same weight again and I'm trying to get a few more reps. If I do, cool, I've made progress. Or I'm going to increase the weight and at least match the same reps. Or if I can get more, that's also progress. But you want to test this every week to know that you are heading in the right direction. When you do the three sets of 10 model and the four sets of 6, whatever, I'm like, how do you measure if you're getting stronger or not? It's really hard to do that.
Yeah. That's what I love about the app too, that it tracks your calculated 1 RM and it really pushes you week to week to progress. It's amazing how much feedback we get from women in our program about how much they love it and how they've just never progressed like this before, which is so
Well, we could,
cool.
because it's highlighting to them, what they need to continue to do to see progress. It's just so black and white. And I think that's what most people are really wanting to know. They're like, if I do this, am I going to see progress? And it's just like, well, yeah, like keep hitting the PB, the numbers keep going up. It's just like, well, exactly when am I, my body's going to change? I'm like, when you get to the point when it's asking you to do a weight and you can't do it, basically, it's going to go, hey, we need you to do 8 reps with this rate and you only get 5. I'm like, cool. You're at your threshold now. Next week, you try and get 6, and then you get 7, then you'll get to 8, and it'll go, congratulations, you've hit your PB. We're time to increase it. It's just like at that point, you're then getting into the land where you're actually building new contractile muscle tissue. And that time can take people a little while to build up. That's why the training structure is so important. Like I sort of said before, if you're a newbie, like literally doing a program where you literally just do the same program, A, B, and C. Sorry, workout A, workout A, workout A 3 times a week is really, really good. I don't do this a lot for people because a lot of people get bored very, very quickly. They don't want to do it. So a two split program is generally where I start most people, and they're happy to do that. But that's what I mean. It's about how can I get you to be lifting the maximum amount of weight that the current musculature that you have on your body right now is capable of lifting. So there's always going to be a lag period until you get to that. But once you get to that and you surpass that, that's when you really start to see your body change. Right?
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, just do a quick recap on what we've covered.
I can't remember any of that. What the fuck did I just
So,
talk about?
first of all, days, the amount of days, choose the amount of days
Yes.
that you can actually commit to.
Correct. Yep. 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 Look, generally, it falls in 3 to 4 days. I think 5 and 6 are always a compromise. They can be done. They just need to be a bit more strategic. But most people, when they train hard, it just generally falls into a 3 day full body split or a 4 day upper lower split. It's generally really good.
Then exercise selection. So how many sets per body part per week, roughly?
Yeah. So look, generally, anywhere between, I think for most people, like 6 up to 8 is probably the top end of the range. So if you're doing a full body program, you're going to be doing 6 sets, right? So you do 2 sets of chest on Monday, 2 sets of chest on Wednesday, 2 sets of chest on Friday. For you, it's generally going to work out about 6 sets. The upper lower, you'll probably do, a chest press movement and then maybe a fly movement on one day, and then on the other day you might do an incline and maybe a decline or something like that. So you might total up to 8 sets for that, and that's done over 4 days. So that's generally anywhere within in that is going to be really, really effective. And then ultimately choosing exercises that you feel really comfortable doing. There's actually this new chest press machine at the gym that I tried the other day, and I was like, oh, gee, this feels really nice. Just the angle and the way that it glides. I was like, yep, sweet, I'm going to add this in, purely just because it felt really good. So I think if you can always lead with that, I think that's always going to be a big outcome. Definitely don't do exercise you don't like doing. It's the same with nutrition. Don't put foods in your diet that you fucking hate eating. It's pretty easy. Yeah.
Then 2 sets and push those sets.
The first set, look to fail anywhere between like 6 to 8 reps, and then look to increase the rate by about 5%. And then you'll fail somewhere between 4 and 6 reps.
And you
And
can
you
work in
can,
high rep ranges too, right? So let's say technically you can build muscle anywhere between what, 5 to 30 reps, but generally you work between like 5 and 15. So like for the like some of the upper body exercises, like I'll do up to 15 reps.
Yeah, look, I think that's a personal preference. So I think sometimes you might go into the gym and you might want to just do a bit more reps. That's totally fine. I think as long as you're pushing as close to failure as possible, the stimulus is going to be big. I personally don't go over 10 for anything anymore, and I generally don't program that way because I just, there's really only 5 stimulating reps within a set. So, if you're doing sets of 15, for example, the first 10 reps are not really that stimulating. It's always going to be the last 5 as you get close to failure and the bar speed starts to slow down. That's when you're in the effective rep range. So that's just personal preference. Maybe sometimes for, some bicep curls or something, you might want to do a higher rep
Even
range,
like
but
lat pull downs, sometimes I do higher. Yeah, just depends.
I
But
mean,
that's it.
well, the lat pull down machine that the cable machine, the stack's actually quite light. You actually ha we actually have to do slightly higher reps on those because you can't fit any more weight on there. Look, anything from 4 up to 15, I think is a
And so
good
you
range to
can
work in.
pick the range and then hit the top of the range, and then you can add weight and then start from the bottom and go again. That's a way you could do
Exactly
it.
right. You might choose different rep ranges for different exercises. Let's say on your chest press, you're going to say, look, 8 is the top of my range. I'm going to keep adding weight until I get to a point where I can't do 8. Like maybe you put a weight on, you're like, oh, I only barely got 5. It's like, cool. Sit there, keep the weight the same. Next week, try and get 6, right? Then the week after that, you keep the weight the same, then try and get 7. Then the week after that, keep the weight the same, then you get 8. Cool. I hit rate, increase the weight. Your reps will drop off then. You might drop back down to 5 or 6 again. Keep the weight the same until you hit the ceiling then with 8, and then increase the weight again. So yeah, that's a really easy, very logical, very simple way to progressively overload each week.
Awesome. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the episode. And we've actually got a really good guide in our free group on how to build an effective training guide within with a 3 day 3 day full body split with video exercise library. And also in any of our programs too, you get to use our coaching app and use this the RY method training, Craig's training system. So hope you have found this helpful. And as always, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KOTTYBLOMFILD with your biggest takeaways. And you can go into the draw to win some Saturé premium collagen. So I pick a winner every week. And we will be back again next week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it.
You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.